Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. The first hour was dedicated to Joe Biden's Scranton speech. We're getting mixed reviews. Some people really love hearing these cuts. Some people don't. I understand both sides. I understand wanting to hear them to understand what's going on with our president, as scary as it might be. The only way I can describe it is if you don't laugh, you might cry. You know, you really don't know what your reaction is going to be to this kind of train wreck.
Not many people know I own the first radio in Springfield.
And then the other side is, I don't want to listen to that. It's depressing. Move on. We do have a lot of other stuff planned, but yesterday's speech was exceptionally strange. So I don't feel bad about playing it. It had to get it out there. And now we are actually
going to invest in our resilience, building roads higher.
Building roads higher. I'm down for that. But now we're going to move on, and I'm very excited to talk about this next subject because you might have noticed a shift in the mainstream media. They were very, very hyper-focused on Florida at the beginning of the pandemic. I remember a journalist actually went out and put body bags on all the beaches to show, you know, how many people Ron DeSantis was going to kill with his policies and his decision-making. And then they came back in the news again when they were having a spike. And once again, the narrative was Dr. Death, you know, Ron DeSantis is Death Santis. He's a villain. And then suddenly, over the last couple weeks, nothing. You hear nothing about Florida. It's very strange. Well, joining me now is Dave Seminara. He is the author of Mad Travelers, A Tale of Wanderlust, Greed, and the Quest to Reach the Ends of the Earth. Dave, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Hey, Grace. Nice to talk to you again. Thank you for having me.
Now, Dave, you are located in Florida, and so you're an expert on this. I know you mention in this piece a lot of references to the disdain that the mainstream media has shown the state of Florida over the last 2 years. We actually put together a little bit of a montage for the audience, and some of the things in this montage are mentioned in your piece, which people can find at cityjournal.org. Let's play this Florida smear campaign.
54,000 Americans who died from COVID since the start of the summer. Almost one in five of them died in Florida, which, my God, all those orphaned ferrets.
Snowbirds come home from Florida where people are going on spring break, and all of these things can contribute to spread.
Instead of the Delta variant, why not call it the DeSantis variant?
He does not seem to want to participate in that effort to kneecap the virus, hence our concern.
COVID sank Donald Trump's presidency. And it's going to sink DeSantis.
And I think that he understands that if he is going to inflict death on school children, he's going to have to make it real hard for their parents to vote.
Now, Dave, you write about this and you have a new take on why the summer surge is going down. And you say it's pretty much for mundane reasons. Can you kind of explain that to us?
Yeah, I don't know if my take is new or not, and I'm certainly not an expert like Dr. Fauci. I would love to have an opportunity to ask Dr. Fauci, how did Florida go from having the highest COVID numbers in the country in August to now we are literally number one? We are the best. We have the lowest instance of COVID in the continental United States. We're behind only Hawaii, and I'm really hoping that we catch up to Hawaii. But I would love to have an opportunity to ask Dr. Fauci this question. But my theory is a very mundane and simple one. It's simply that the weather here is pretty unbearable in the summertime. Obviously, most people from around the country don't really want to come here in the summer because it's so incredibly hot and humid, and we tend to go indoors. So rather than the rest of the year, we like to dine outside. We go to bars that are outdoors. We live outdoors here in Florida for, I would say, 8 or 9 months of the year. But in July and August, we really do retreat into the air conditioning. So I think, obviously, the more time people spend indoors in the air conditioning and air-conditioned bars and restaurants and parties are indoors instead of outdoors, it wouldn't it be sort of obvious that the infection rates are going to go up then? And then they're going to come down once the weather gets good. So we've literally gone from having, you know, being ranked number 50th or however you want to rate it to being number one in the span of 2 months. It's a hell of a story. It's a very interesting story, but it's a story that the mainstream media hasn't been interested in reporting.
Yeah, you know what, Dave? I shouldn't have called it a new theory because I have heard of it before. I should have just called it a normal theory because, like you said, it does make a lot of sense that once it gets so hot in Florida, people tend to move indoors. And you mentioned that the mainstream media has no interest in telling this story. But what I like about your piece is that you make the point that even if they don't want to tell the story on CNN, on MSNBC, in the Washington Post, the truth is going to find a way to slip out. And you reference some statistics of how people are going to catch on to how well Florida is doing. Can you describe that to the audience?
Yeah, they're catching on by actually coming here and visiting us. And, you know, as I point out in the piece, tourism numbers have exploded here. And we're already... our tourism numbers, our domestic tourism numbers, are already beyond what they were in 2019, which is a record-setting year, and they're up something like more than 200% in 2021 over 2020. And that there's a number of different factors involved there. First of all, word has gotten out that we're living normally down here, that we're living free, and that you can come here on vacation and actually enjoy yourself without a mask on. So we have lots of friends and relatives from up north. I'm originally from up north. And we've had lots of people come down here, and they're shocked and they're delighted when they come here that, first of all, there aren't lots of dead bodies lying around in the streets, and second of all, that you can come down here and you can enjoy a vacation and live normally. And the narrative that they've heard in the media is not really true. So that's one of the great things about travel. A lot of my books are about travel, and I also write about travel in addition to politics. The great thing about travel is you can actually see things with your own eyes. And so people from around the country and around the world are coming here. And a lot of them are coming here on vacation and then deciding to move here, Grace, because they like what they see.
Yeah, and of course the fear with that, and I talk to Howie about this a lot, is that they're going to move there and they're going to bring their voting habits with them. And then, you know, soon Florida is going to look like all of the other places in the United States. But I appreciate what you're saying about giving people the opportunity to see how things can be run differently. And I think that really is, Dave, and I'd be curious to hear if you feel the same. I think that's where the disdain for Ron DeSantis comes into play, because he really did create this foil for people like Dr. Fauci and Joe Biden and Andrew Cuomo, where they were telling us, you have to do it this way. You have to stay locked down. You have to all have masks on, or else there will be, you know, a calamity. And what he did was he gave people the vision to say, oh, look, this is what happens if you don't do all of those things. And it actually can pan out decently for a state. And do you think that's where this disdain comes in, or is it something I'm missing about Ron DeSantis and the reason they hate him?
Yeah, and I think you're actually being very charitable by using the word disdain. I would say out and outright hatred. I mean, they absolutely detest this man. They despise him. If you read, you played a couple of clips there, but if you read my piece, it's sort of a greatest hit of some of the insults that led against him. But we had people all over the mainstream media on primetime television saying that he was deliberately killing children. And to me, that goes beyond disdain. I mean, they portrayed him as a person who wakes up in the morning and thinking, now what policies can I cook up today to ensure that more children will die? I mean, to me, this guy was treated like a serial killer. So I think that, to me, that's a tremendous compliment, because if you have people on the left trying to portray you as enemy number one, as the new Trump, that means that they fear you, that they're concerned about you. And I think that the left has rightly surmised that this is a guy who could win a national election. This is a guy who could be the next president of the United States. And I think they fear him because he's a good communicator. They can't say he's stupid. He's an Ivy League, you know, he's an Ivy League graduate. He's very articulate. And he has a track record of success here in the state of Florida. And I think that scares them. So all of this, you know, hatred and demonization of DeSantis, I think it's the biggest compliment that they could possibly pay him. They're afraid of him.
Yeah, no, I would totally agree. And Dave, I think how I'm going to end this interview is asking you a question that I find myself asking a lot of people, which is, come 2024, I mean, you just talked about it there. They're afraid he's going to run for president. You're in Florida. You've got Trump on the one hand, who might try his hand at this again. You have Ron DeSantis. What are you thinking for 2024? Do you have any inkling of what's going to go down?
Well, I have an inkling of what I would like to go down. And that's, you know, that's said, I really hope that Donald Trump retires and that DeSantis is the person that we can coalesce around him, because I think that we've tried, Donald Trump, and I think that the age that he'll be at, I forget what the number is going to be, but it's too high, quite frankly. And I think that if you already lost, we all know there was a lot of problems with the last election, but he did lose to Joe Biden, who's a disgrace, who's an absolute sham of a candidate. So if you've already lost once to Joe Biden, I don't think you deserve a rematch. So I don't know what will happen in 2024, but I know what I would like to happen. And with all due respect to Donald Trump, I do hope that he retires, and I hope that he endorses Ron DeSantis, and I hope that he's the candidate, because I followed him very closely down here. I've listened to him. He's a person who can win independents over. He's a person who's going to win some Democratic votes. And unfortunately, I fear someone like Trump, the whole country's already made up their mind about Donald Trump.
Yeah.
The whole country hasn't made up their mind about Ron DeSantis. And I think that he can win over some people in the middle.
And you know what, too, Dave, when you say that, it's like the mainstream media tried so hard to make it seem as if the sky was falling with Donald Trump, and Donald Trump was the worst person in the world. You know, they compared him to Hitler. They compared him to all of these authoritarians. And so if they try to do that with Ron DeSantis, which they always overplay their hand, so they most likely will try it, I do think that those people you talk about, those independents, the people in the middle, are going to say, wait a second, you already said this about a guy before. And so what's the chances that the next guy is just as bad? Like, I don't think people are going to go for this hyperbolic rhetoric
right. This
second time around.
No, I think you make a great point, Grace. And I also want to say, too, prior to your earlier point about the fear of people moving down here and then continuing to vote blue, I actually think that that is not going to happen too much, because I think the type of person who's attracted to move to Florida right now, I'm not saying none of them will continue voting Democratic, but I think that we're attracting freedom-loving people from around the country. So I think for every one cold-weather person who moves here and will continue to vote Democratic, there's probably going to be four or five who are voting Republican. So I think we're actually trending in the other right direction, because people are seeing the type of leadership of what's going on here in Florida. And I think the type of person who's attracted to our freedom-loving lifestyle here, I don't think they're going to be voting Democratic. I really don't.
Dave Seminara, thank you so much for coming on. Dave, where can people find all of your work? And I know you have a book out. Tell people a little bit about where they can find your stuff.
Yeah, so first of all, the article we were talking about today is from City Journal, which has one of the greatest paywalls, I think, in the world. You have 200 free articles you can read per month on City Journal, so it's effectively free. So I do contribute to City Journal. I also contribute to a number of other different publications. My website is daveseminara.com. And you very kindly plugged my book for me, Grace. I've got another recent article in City Journal, too, about the recent proliferation of far left-wing children's books, which is another dangerous one. So that can also be City Journal.
All right, Dave Seminara, thank you so much for coming on. Always a pleasure. The Thunderstorm Air Purifier is one of the Eden Pure's best-selling products, and there's a reason why. It's because, yes, it works. We get that question a lot here at the Howie Carr Radio Network and at the Grace Curley Show. People are always asking, does it really work? You talk about it all the time. Jared talks about his allergies. He has one in his car. It does work. And I use it mostly for cooking, Jared. If I cook eggs, if I cook steak, I like to get that smell out pretty quick. But we also have been pointing out recently, which I think is very, very true in this weather, is that you close the windows, the air does get a little stagnant.
Yeah, and you don't want that stale air in your house. So if you turn on the Thunderstorm, all you need to do is you plug it into a regular wall outlet. That's it. All you got to do, plug it in, turn it on, and it starts ionizing the air right away, which creates that super oxygen, which gets, nasty stuff out of the air, smells like Grace mentioned, or allergens, pollutants, stuff you don't want to breathe, when your windows are shut. It starts circulating the air and you get that clean air that you're breathing. It's the best.
Absolutely. It's a great product and everyone should get their hands on this, especially when they're running such an incredible deal. That means if you purchase the Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-pack, you'll get 3 units for under $200 and you'll save $200. So go to EdenPureDeals.com, click my name and put in code word GRACE3 to save $200 for their special 3-pack. Nice and slow here for everybody. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Click my name and use code word GRACE3. When we get back, I want to play a little bit of Condoleezza Rice, and we're going to talk about critical race theory just for a short amount of time before Woker Joke. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Grace Curley is your perfect lunch date.
Bread, $2 extra.
$2, but everyone in front of me got free bread.
You want bread?
Yes, please.
$3!
What?
No soup for you!
This is the Grace Curley Show.
A few months ago, I made a vow that I would not listen to any clips from The View anymore for my own mental health, because it's too wild and it's too dumb. But there was something refreshing that happened yesterday. Former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice was on The View, and they asked her thoughts on critical race theory. And we talk about critical race theory a lot. Like I pointed out yesterday, it has mobilized a lot of parents across the country, especially in states like Virginia. And Condoleezza put this so well, and it's exactly how I think a lot of people, black or white, feel about critical race theory. This is cut two.
Let me be very clear. I grew up in segregated Birmingham, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't go to a movie theater or to a restaurant with my parents. I went to segregated schools till we moved to Denver.
Mm-hmm.
My parents never thought I was going to grow up in a world without prejudice, but they also told me that's somebody else's problem, not yours. You're going to overcome it, and you are going to be anything you want to be. And that's the message that I think we ought to be sending to kids. One of the worries that I have about the way that we're talking about race is that it either seems so big that somehow white people now have to feel guilty for everything that happened in the past. I mm-hmm. don't think that's very productive. Or black people have to feel disempowered by mm-hmm. race. I would like black kids to be completely empowered, to know that they are beautiful in their blackness,
mm-hmm.
but in order to do that, I don't have to make white kids feel bad for being white. So somehow, this is a conversation that has gone in the wrong direction.
That last part, you don't have to watch?
Yeah, you know, there's a little bit of it. In order for black kids who, quite frankly, for a long time, the way they were portrayed, the way their history was portrayed,
right.
It was second-class citizenship.
Of course.
But I don't have to make white children feel bad about being white.
Yeah, and of course, Joy Behar speaks up because she's probably very pro-critical race theory, and she always pipes in, repeat that. You know what she said. You just disagree with it because it makes too much sense, Joy. But right when I heard that, it made me think of one of my favorite interviews of a very successful musician / fashion designer / billionaire, Kanye West. It brought me back because he had this interview where he was talking about how people tried to put him in a box, you know, oh, you're a rapper, you can't design clothes, you can't do this, can't do that. And he had a similar sentiment. And I don't think it has anything to do with race. I just think it's about how you're raised. And, you know, if people tell you that you can be what you want to be and that you have all these opportunities, then you're more likely to take them and to take chances and to try things. And I just wanted to play it because I immediately thought of it. And it's one of my favorite quotes from Kanye West. This is cut three.
I mean, I know in the past you've talked about, like, you know, building hotels, doing things that are beyond people's normal frame of reference.
Yeah.
They know you as Kanye West, an artist. They know that you're moving into fashion. But these things, I guess, in a way, are hard for people to comprehend because they don't have that level of drive. Do you know what I mean? Has it always been like this for you? Have you always felt like you can set your mind to anything and you will achieve it ultimately?
I always felt like I could do anything. Mm. That's the main thing people are controlled by. Thoughts, their perception of themselves. They're slowed down by their perception of themselves. If you're taught you can't do anything, you won't do anything.
Mm.
I was taught I could do everything. And I'm Kanye West at age 36. So just watch the next 10 years.
And in the last 10 years, he's become a billionaire. And I just think it's a powerful statement to make to just say, we don't need to make people feel bad or to make people feel like victims. We just need to empower everyone and say, you know, this is the greatest country in the world. And if you want to do something and you work hard enough, you'll achieve it. That is the American dream. It's an amazing concept, and not enough people, especially, you know, high profile media figures, are talking about that. I also was having some thoughts today about why I'm very hopeful and positive about where this country is going. It kind of plays into the boiling the frog theory, and I want to talk about that later on. But before we get to any of that, We have Woker Joke coming up next. I want to see full lines before we go to the fake or real headlines. 844-500-4242.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show, 844-500-4242. We're getting close to the full line, so if you want to get in for Woker Joke, now is the time. But before we even go to that, I do want to start this segment with a narrative, a news cycle that really does feel like it's a dream because of the wokeness run amok. And that would be what's happening with Dave Chappelle. Dave Chappelle had a Netflix special that really talked about this entire thing, this cultural issue we're having, where if someone says something you don't like or hurts your feelings, people freak out, people throw a temper tantrum, people, you know, start to cry, people are hurting. And that is absolutely what transpired after the employees in Netflix decided that they found his special to be hurtful.
Can you use the word transpired anymore?
Very good question. That is what person-spired, being-spired, uterus-spired.
I think person-spired.
Person-spired. And now I want everyone to take a listen to this. This is one of the protesters from Netflix. We were told the protest was against Dave Chappelle because his special was not funny and it was mean and it was prejudice and homophobic and transphobic and all of these things. And yet this protester's agenda seems to have gone in a different direction. This is cut five.
Today, on this full moon in Aries, it is time to make a change. It's time to release the old and break in new. What needs to happen if the CEO at Netflix wants to make it right with trans people? Give your trans employees a raise right now. Give them a raise right now. For their hard work, for their hard labor, and for putting their trauma out for the world to see.
For putting their trauma out for the world to see. I have to say, you can, if you watch that clip, there's people in the back with their signs who didn't know where she was going to go with this. Like, they didn't realize they were there for a raise, but you can see them get okay with the idea she's talking.
Oh,
they're like, yeah.
Who wouldn't be okay with that?
You know, by the way, we're here, so might as well.
Can we get an account of where Maxine Waters was? That sounded just like her.
You think so?
Yeah.
I was amazed at...
Maybe it's because the bullhorn.
Yeah, well, Maxine usually does have a bullhorn. I was just amazed at the fact that there were some protesters with signs that said, we like jokes, and that one anti-Dave protester came over to a man with a we likes joke or I like Dave sign, broke it in two, and destroyed his sign because now liking a black comedian gets you canceled. I just, you couldn't write this stuff. The only thing that was as wacky as this is to me is the day that Bill Cosby got released. Because first of all, I never know where these protesters find the time or the energy or the signs. Like, everyone must be going to Staples all the time, especially during a supply chain crisis. It's tough.
Mm.
But when Bill Cosby got released, I don't know if you remember this, Taylor, there was a pro-Bill Cosby protester outside his house and an anti-Bill Cosby protester. And they were both kind of like having a standoff. And I just thought, it's weird, the world we live in.
It is strange. I don't remember that specifically, but that's, yeah. We saw it from, what was his co-star's name on The Cosby Show?
Felicia Rashad.
Felicia Rashad. Yeah, she was pro-Cosby.
And you heard who got canceled this week. I hope this doesn't step on your
Uh-oh.
Feet here.
Wait, hold on. I don't think, no, go ahead.
The Handmaid's Tale author, Margaret Atwood.
Oh, yes.
She was, she's canceled because she retweeted a column that basically asked, why are we erasing women from our culture? Like, why is it becoming a dirty word? And a lot of people were responding back. A lot of her critics were saying, that's not what's happening here. It's not about erasing women. But here's my question. If it's not about erasing women, you know, if it's just about equality and all these things, why is the ACLU taking old quotes from Ruth Bader Ginsburg and editing out the word woman and replacing it with the word they? If it's not about erasing, that feels, deleting words like women feels like erasing women to me. Am I off here?
I'm going to bite my tongue because this is your show and I don't want to get you in trouble.
What do you mean?
We'll just move on. I've got strong opinions about all of this. And
well, hey, this is
no,
what...
No.
Okay.
No.
Seems like you're saving yourself there more than you're saving me, but yeah. That's fine. All right, now, without further ado, it is time for Woke or Joke.
Everything woke turns to shit, okay?
I started a joke.
Ha, 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 ha. Pink-haired wokers.
The word woke means loser.
But the joke was on me.
We still have a few spots open, so the number is 844-500-4242. This is how it works. Taylor Cormier reads a headline, and you have to decide if it's woke or if it's a joke. If you win, you'll win a gift. You'll be entered to win a gift card to Aviva Trattoria. They're the sponsor of this fabulous segment, if I do say so myself. Now, here's the deal, though. If you listen to one of these headlines and it is true, and you think, I need to hear more about that, you can tune in to Week in Woke, conveniently later today during Howie's show, and you can listen to Taylor explain some of these stories. Now, without further ado, Taylor, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right.
Been ready. I was born ready.
All right, here we go. Eric, you're first in Woke or Joke. Are you ready for your headline, Eric?
Yes, I am.
All right, Eric, here's your headline. Right privilege. UNC student alleges lefty discrimination in a world built for righties.
I want to say that's a joke.
That's woke.
Oh.
Woke. No,
not a joke.
Not a joke.
This is a story right up Howie's alley because it's at UNC Chapel Hill.
And is Howie a lefty?
Is he a lefty?
Is he ambidextrous?
I don't know.
It is, to be fair. So this is what I was told when I was younger. Because I think my dad told me
righty.
This. Howie's a righty. Okay, I think my dad told me this. That when you
Did
were,
you look that up?
Is it on his Wikipedia?
I know the boss of the company I work for because I'm a company person.
Oh, you're
so
a company
man.
So I pay
attention to these details. Okay. I don't know. Howie's homework, the picture, he's got a pen in his right hand. So I'm assuming that he's a righty.
Well, we're all such investigators today. What I will say, though, about this idea that the world was built for righties, it was because I think it was either my mom or my dad told me that one of them was a lefty when they were little, but they used to try to train you out of it because I think they thought being a left-handed person was like a sign of the devil.
Yes, the word sinister actually comes from the Latin for left-handed, and
wow.
To the point where when you were a kid back in the day, they would break your hand if you were a lefty, so you would have to learn.
Are you sure? I might have to have Joe Biden fact-check that. They would break your hand?
Well, I don't think they did it to every kid, but they'd break children's hands to...
Wait, that's wild.
So they would learn to use their right hand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody
amazing.
In the audience probably remembers that.
90% of the people on Earth are right-handed.
Yeah, yeah. I'm right-handed.
I don't think that's an accomplishment you can claim.
Follower.
Yeah. I'm right-handed. I remember in school they had left-handed scissors, and that was always a pain, and left-handed desks, which was always strange as well. All right, let's go to Sean. You're next with Taylor Cormier and Grace Curley. Are you ready for your woke or joke headline, Sean?
I'm ready.
All right, Sean, here's your headline. Halloween's bone-chilling villain Michael Myers is homophobic in new film.
It's got to be a joke.
That's also woke.
Oh!
Wow. Not a joke. Not a joke.
You know why he's homophobic?
Why?
Because he kills a gay couple.
But I'm sure he kills a straight couple, too.
He's killed many straight couples.
He doesn't discriminate. He's killed so many people.
No. He's branching out. He's being inclusive in his murderous ways.
Do you watch those movies?
I've seen the original and maybe a follow-up. I think I saw the recent one with Jamie Lee Curtis that they redid a few years ago.
I'm not into those. I'm not into Halloween-esque movies. I don't know why.
I try. I don't like the childlike hocus-pocus Halloween movies.
So overrated.
I can't stand that movie.
It's more just like the hype is so high now for Hocus Pocus. Like people have never seen a movie before.
But I like a good psychological thriller.
Yes.
Like Silence of the Lambs.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very scary. All right, let's go to Jonathan. You're next on Woke or Joke. Are you ready for your headline, Jonathan?
Yeah, all set.
All right, Jonathan, here's your headline. New Chicago Comedy Club to feature only non-offensive comics.
Joke.
That is a joke.
I was going to say a not funny comedy club.
That was a joke. That's not true.
Well, there are plenty of comics that are not offensive per se. They were clean, as it were.
No, but you know what, Taylor?
Jim Gaffigan.
That's not true. And I'll tell you why, because everything's offensive nowadays. Look at this segment, the things we read, the things that bother people. It's insane. So you really can't be a non-offensive comedian unless you're just getting up on stage and saying, thank you so much for having me, and then leaving. You're going to offend somebody.
Yeah, I'm sure you've heard the story. Larry David used to do stand-up, and he used to come out on the stage and kind of look over the audience, and one time he actually did it, and he looked him over. He didn't like the crowd. He says, nah, and he walked off.
It's true, though. The audience wants to be offended nowadays. Everyone is so, so sensitive. You know, if you go on Twitter and you write something like, oh, my favorite color is green, you actually get people, you know, you never considered people who really like the color blue. You're being kind of offensive to people who really like red. It's crazy. People are just out of their minds. Bob, you're next with Grace and Taylor. Are you ready for your headline, Bob?
Let her roll.
Okay, Bob, here's your headline. Academy of Motion Pictures considers more androgynous Oscar trophy.
woke.
That's a joke.
Oh, I was going to say, it's pretty androgynous.
That was a joke. That's not true.
It's manly. It's a masculine trophy.
Is it, though?
It's broad shoulders.
It doesn't have...
exposed pectorals.
Yeah, but it doesn't have any... It's kind of like...
No, it doesn't have any... genitals.
Anatomy.
Yeah. So is it that manly is what I'm saying?
It's manly enough.
It's got the classic squared jaw that is associated with manliness.
Bald head. It has a bald head.
This might change by next week once people hear this. A bold, square jaw. They got to get on this. This has to be fixed right away. Joan, you're next with Taylor and Grace. Are you ready for your headline, Joan?
I'm ready.
All right, Joan, here's your headline. Child of evil murder doll Chucky confirmed as canonically gender fluid in new series.
God, I hope that's a joke.
That's woke.
Okay, explain.
Not a joke. Not a joke.
Joan, and I don't blame you for that one. That was strange.
We have audio of this. This is a new TV series, Chucky. He confirms that his child, which... the doll had a child with another doll. He calls him Glenn.
The bride of Chucky.
The bride of Chucky, yeah. Calls their child Glenda, which is an homage to a very early film, Glenn or Glenda, I believe. And
sorry.
So, was that my Joe Biden story time of the day?
And maybe Victor Victoria.
I felt kind of mean in the first hour, just calling out Taylor's old man qualities. And then he says, from an old movie, I believe.
I think that was Jimmy Stewart who was in that. I'm not sure. Look that up, Jared. But before, we will play this cut of Chucky having a conversation with a queer child. That's how it's labeled in the script. Go ahead.
You know, I have a queer kid. You have a kid. Gender fluid. And you're cool with it. I'm not a monster, Jake.
Oh, boy.
Yes, Glenn or Glenda, 1953 Ed Wood film.
Ed Wood, yeah.
Yes, starring Ed Wood, Timothy Farrell, Dolores Fuller, and Bela Lugosi.
Okay, Bela Lugosi. I was wrong. It was not Jimmy Stewart.
See, I've never watched the Chucky stuff.
Nor have I.
Interest.
I think maybe I've seen the first one.
Yeah,
but
I saw the
it.
First one. It was stupid.
It was dumb.
You know what my rule is for scary movies? If it couldn't actually happen, I have no interest in it. Like, Silence of the Lambs, you just gave that example. That's a great movie because... there's nothing about it that's otherworldly that couldn't actually happen.
And Halloween could have happened, the first film, but after they killed him, I mean, he came back from the dead.
Hey, he had a contract.
That's when they
that
lost
could never
you.
Have happened.
All right, let's go to Mike. You're next on Woke or Joke. Are you ready for your headline, Mike?
I'm ready.
All right, Mike, here's your headline. American Way dropped from Superman's updated motto.
I'm going to say that's woke.
That is woke. Very good.
Not a joke. Not a joke.
Truth, justice, and the American way is now truth, justice, and a better tomorrow.
I thought you were going to say truth, justice, and build back bagel.
Build back better plane.
Yeah, that's what I would have picked. All right, let's go to Ted. You're next on Woke or Joke. Are you ready for your headline, Ted?
I feel lucky today, Grace.
Okay, I hope you're right. Go ahead, Taylor.
Ted, here's your headline. Are diamonds vegan? These conflict-free gems are made from air pollution.
That's a joke.
That's not a joke. That's true.
Not a joke. Not a joke.
Are they? They're vegan, but are they vegan? Is how we would say.
Fake.
all right, let's do one more really quickly here. Lenny, you're next on Woke or Joke. Are you ready for your headline, Lenny?
Yes, I am.
All right, go ahead, Taylor.
All right, Lenny, here's your headline. Cedars-Sinai NICU to drop gendered pink and blue caps and blankets.
I think we're due for a joke, so I'm going to say joke.
Wow, very good forecasting there.
By the way, that was a joke. That's not true.
You know what, though, Taylor? You did a great job today. You tricked a lot of people.
I knew it was a good lineup here.
All right, so that is Woke or Joke for today. We will be back with more of your calls. Now more than ever, there are so many reasons to be a grateful nation, and in large part, we have our military and our veterans to thank for our liberties and freedoms. National Wreaths Across America Day is Saturday, December 18th. You can join in the mission to remember our fallen heroes, honor those who currently serve and their families, and the opportunity to teach younger generations the value of their freedoms, which I think is a huge plus to this. It's just, you know, having the younger generation realize how grateful we all should be. A $15 donation to Wreaths Across America sponsors a fresh, handmade balsam fir wreath from Maine with a single red bow. The veterans' wreaths have become a gift of America's respect. The circular wreath made with 10 balsam bouquets is a catalyst for unity, healing, and an expression of gratitude. What started with America's most hallowed ground at Arlington National Cemetery has grown to cemeteries at close to 3,000 participating locations across the country and overseas. Please sponsor a veteran's wreath today and show your appreciation for our veterans. Go to wreathsacrossamerica.org. That's wreathsacrossamerica.org. Please donate now. All right, we'll be right back. 844-500-4242. Do we have a few more?
We have a few more.
All right, we'll keep it going because we have a few more people on the line. 844-500-4242. Woke or Joke continues next.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show.
Was I wearing a tiara when I came in here? Because if you happen upon it, will you have Lady Pennyface retrieve it and send it post-hence?
She's the epitome of class, style, and sophistication. She's Grace Curley.
Today's poll question is brought to you by Nauset Disposal. Affordable rubbish and recycling from Duxbury to Provincetown. Go to NausetDisposal.com. That's NausetDisposal.com. Jared, what is the poll question? And what are the results thus far?
What does Joe Biden say first at tonight's town hall? Come on, man. Don't jump. Something about a female's attractiveness. No joke. Or something about one of his pops.
All right. I know the easy answer is no joke, but I am going to stick with don't jump because he loves that.
Not a joke. Not a joke.
Where is the town hall?
Because that really does depend if it has high seats.
Yeah.
I don't know the exact venue where it's at.
We'll have to find that out. It's invitation only, so I hope you're not planning on attending. You will be turned away at the door, my friend.
57% say no joke will be the first thing he says. 15% for something about a woman's attractiveness. 13% about one of his pops. Don't jump at 3%. And come on, man, at 12%.
Now, I should say this. A Woke or Joke is a great segment, and it's sponsored by Aviva Trattoria. And I highly encourage everyone to check out their wine dinners. I love the wine dinner there. It was so fun. Roast pig, guitar player, tiramisu. What more can I say? So go to AvivaTrattoria.com to check that out. And we thank Aviva Trattoria for sponsoring Woke or Joke. Taylor, I mismanaged the time on this. We're not going to have time to go to the callers. But read us a couple of these headlines, and we'll just go through them quick.
Racial Neighborhood Association concerns push Chicago Transit Authority to phase out color coding of rail lines. The red line, the green line.
Joke.
That's a joke. Elite University Student Union pushes a transphobia witch hunt, releases guide for spotting trans-exclusionary radical feminists.
Woke.
Very good, Grace.
Yeah, she's an expert. All right, we will be back with more. We're talking Dr. Fauci and a lot of craziness. Don't go anywhere.